I am, in a way, adopted. I was my mom's daughter, and my stepdad had a daughter, and when they married, he adopted me. My grandmother is also adopted, so I've always kind of had adoption in my life. And it sounds silly, but I always felt like even if I were to be able to have children physically, I would still want to adopt because I've had that in my life. And so when we were married and then got to the point of infertility and going through that whole thing and saw what it was going to cost, and plus I was on medicine out the wazoo and not feeling good, and then they told us, you've probably got a 10 to 15% chance that this is going to work. And we were looking at about, say, $35,000. That, to me, was not a big enough percentage to make that leap of faith. And so we took about a year off. And that's when I started looking at adoption. And I always kind of came to China. And I don't know if it was just the type of search that I was doing. I knew I wanted to do international because I didn't want to do domestic from what I had friends that had experienced that had done like foster to adopt and the ones that had tried to do, like I think through Edna Gladney, where you do a portfolio and the birth mother picks you and then she still has an opportunity on the day she gives birth that she may decide, oh, I've decided to keep the child. And so I knew that domestic didn't interest me, and every time I would research international, China was like the first thing that came available. And so we were kind of talking about it intermittently, and my grandmother's cousin had a friend that had adopted from China and said, just in case you're interested in this, why don't you give her a call? She lives in Austin. She's an agency out of Austin, whatever. She was a single mom that had used Great Wall. I listened to her story. Here she was a single mom. The process seemed to be easy, especially for a woman that was single. And I thought, this is the direction I want to go. It's a Texas-based company. It's right here. It's close. The wait was 9 months once all the paperwork was done. And so we started the process, but I had just turned 29 when we applied. And because of the age 30 rule, they told me that we couldn't do anything paperwork-wise that was going to be dated, that would be time-sensitive. Like, we could get birth certificates and things like, we could work on those types of things that the date didn't matter. But we couldn't start our home study or anything until I was 29 and a half.
Why? I didn't know about the age 30.
You had to be, both parents had to be 30 to apply to adopt. You had to be 30 when you sent your dossier. So the day I turned 30, one of the documents I was missing was our marriage license. And so my grandparents got in the car and we drove down to Cuero to the courthouse to get our marriage license. We then from Cuero drove to Austin to get all the documents sealed. And then we shipped it off to Houston with an agency that walked it in, I guess, into the consulate or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on December 9th. And then I guess I got it that next Monday. I think my birthday was on a Friday, and then we mailed it in. So everything was finalized literally on my 30th birthday. It was
wow. And how was your husband at the time with this? Was he open to China? Did he have questions about it?
He did have questions, and we had gone through a little bit of a hiccup with his family, who really wanted us to research a little more with countries where the children would look more Caucasian. And so there was a little bit of a struggle there. And then he came, I guess, to the realization that it was our decision, and we went through with it.
And did his family, how did that play out? Did they adjust to the decision?
No.
Really?
No.
Even the grandparents?
His.
Really?
Parents, yeah.
So they've never really participated as grandparents?
They have. I think that they came to terms with it a little more with Baz, our son. And
Who's from South Korea.
He's from South Korea. And I never got the impression from them that there was any racism. It just was something different. I grew up, I had people in my school that were Asian, so different ethnicity really was never an issue growing up. My parents never made an issue about anything, whatever. So to me, it was a child. We were going to be a parent. I didn't care if it was red, white, or blue, or green, or black, or brown, or nothing. It was going to be our child. And so we struggled with that for a while.
In a way, it was kind of an early, like, I mean, I don't know if it did this or not. Did it kind of introduce to you or make you think more about the idea of you are, it is a, yes, a biracial family. You have an Asian family and you have an Anglo family, as we all do. And, you know, it sort of forced the question that some of us only, you know, we know is there, but we don't really think through in a way. And I, did it make you kind of start to think about what about strangers, other people and strangers and...
Yeah, I guess because I wasn't really getting it on my side of the family. They were very supportive. They were happy about it. They were excited. I mean, anything we could work on for the baby's room or whatever. I mean, it was just constantly about Harper. We named her the minute we applied. We had a name picked out. So when we talked about it, we were talking about Harper. Harper became this person that wasn't even born yet to, I guess, maybe make it feel more real that one day this was actually going to happen. But it wasn't until we got home that, you know, in the beginning when they're new and they're new to the family and they're still a baby, whatever, and you know, you realize people looking and people asking questions, whatever. But then when they get a little older and you kind of forget because they're your child, you don't, you know, until something is sad, it's like, oh, yeah, you know. We had a lot of strangers ask questions. I mean, I remember sitting at a dinner, like at a hibachi grill thing, and a couple sitting across from us, and literally what he said was, I think that's really neat that y'all did that, and I bet they cost a lot of money. And just thinking, like, here we are sitting with our family at a restaurant, and this is what you have to say? Like, I just would never ask somebody, like, that's like asking somebody, how much did that new Mercedes cost you? That's not something that you ask. You don't. It's such a private matter, and especially when you're dealing with children. I just, and my answer to him was not enough.
And what did he say?
And I think he took it as, I think I crossed the line, and you know, he ended the conversation. But
where was this? Was this in New
Braunfels?
In New Braunfels. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we live in it. Growing up, it was a German community. It was, you know, you didn't really date interracially. There wasn't a lot of that going on, although we had a lot of friends that were Hispanic and Black and Asian and other races or whatever. But in today's times, you would think that it would be different. And there's, the community has grown and people have moved in and there's all kinds of stuff going on around you, and I think adoption and Asian adoption, you see it more than what you did maybe years ago when Korea was kind of the forefront to international adoption. The times have changed so much that that shouldn't even be a question. I feel it shouldn't even be a question to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see people with kids that look like they're from Ethiopia, and you'll... And they have biological children also. And in my mind is, hey, that's wonderful. I'm glad they did that. I don't think, oh, wow, you know, oh, is, and I'll go up to them and say, is your child from Ethiopia or Africa or wherever? I just wouldn't think of doing that. You just see it more, and we're part of the community. And
how do you deal with it most of the time if people do ask? Like, if the kids are there?
I kind of just smile and give them a, like, that forced smile and kind of evade the answer. I remember I had one lady at Walmart one time. She was actually Asian descent of some kind. And she started crying. And she said, oh, I just, you know, I can't believe that anybody would want to do that. And Harper's looking at me like, what is, like, she goes, what's wrong with her? And I go, oh, she got off her meds or something. Like, I don't know what's wrong with her. The woman's crazy or da-da-da. And I just always felt like I don't have to give them an answer, but when my children are there, I always just try to either be very nice but evade the question because I didn't feel like I needed to really answer to anybody about it. I don't go up asking you, is this your child or is this a child through a divorce? Is this...
Right, it's intrusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like asking somebody if they had a child vaginally or by through C-section. It's none of my business. That's kind of how I feel.
Right.
When people ask about it.
Right.
Or is she really your daughter or are they really brother and sister? Yes, they're brother. No, are they really brother and sister? Yes, they're brother and sister. No, I mean, are they really brother and sister? Are you asking me if they from the same birth mother or from the same country? No, they're not from the same country, but they're brother and sister. So I kind of at times get a little, I guess, defensive, but I don't know. I just think it's appalling sometimes when people ask stuff like that, not even respecting that the children are there.